This podcast is dedicated to the memory of our dear friend Tara Bajro, who was last seen on the 26th of August in Bali. If you know of her whereabouts, please inform your local authorities, or us on Twitter, at RTV Warriors. And Tara, if you're listening, please come home. We miss Wu.
When they arrive, they'll make their way to the Victoria Concert Hall and Theatre and search for Alan Wu.
Alan Wu?
Host of The Amazing Race Asia.
Ready, set, go!
Welcome to the 10th and final wonderful episode of Your Team Number, the Amazing Race Asia podcast from Reality TV Warriors. My name is Michael Harmstone, and joining me for the final time this season is the Canadian whose smile is irritating me right now, Logan Saunders.
Morning.
Good morning. And fun fact, we are actually recording this on Sunday as well, for both of us, because I'm releasing this later today. We're recording it on Sunday. It's like 1:30 for Logan in the morning. And in like 5 hours, he's going to be flying to come and see me. Yay!
Yeah, it is 1:46 in the morning right now, and I figure I'll have to be up by 6:30. So 3 hours of sleep tonight, probably, at the most.
And he'll be like a kid on Christmas morning, because he'll be flying to see me.
Yes, the 24 hours of travel time, that anticipation will just kill me.
Well, I've already sort of hinted that there are presents coming. There's a card waiting on your bed from our good friend Michelle, whose card for me still hasn't arrived.
She said her priorities right.
Yeah, she did. And your present from me is going to be early because it's what we're doing on Friday night that, surprisingly, two people on the podcast know about and you still haven't got any wind of.
No spoilers, I guess.
Oh, no. I've sworn my parents to secrecy as well. They're not allowed to tell you either.
I see.
It's something you'll enjoy. So, 10 weeks ago, Lisa and Nicole couldn't point themselves in the right direction and were eliminated at the start line in wonderful Jakarta. Ray and Keiji got stuck in 10th place in Bogor. Brandon and Malfeus' strings got cut in Bandung. Vicky and Rachel fought their way to 8th place in Phuket. Alex and Will got themselves stuck in 7th place in Ho Chi Minh City. Tom and Anita were left hung out to dry in Vegan. JK and Mike slipped out in Yogyakarta. And Louisa and Treasury were the victims of the first ever yield turn in Banyuwangi. And after 6 countries, 12 cities, and over 12,000 kilometres, we have our winners, Philippines Beauty Queens, Farul and Maggie. Are you happy?
Considering a week one prediction completely held up all the way through to the end of the season? Yes. Although it's funnier when I'm wrong, especially at the very last second.
Yeah, I knew that Eric and Rona got third because Facebook spoiled me. And I didn't know who came first and who came second, and I was watching the episode just going, come on, Perul and Maggie, don't make us look like fools. Come on, Perul and Maggie, don't make us look like fools. Because I genuinely wasn't sure they were going to win. Yvonne and Chloe came very close.
Meanwhile, I think I made some pretty bold statements in regards to Maggie and Perul's winners at it since day one.
Oh, up until the episode, I was really, really convinced we were going to win, and then I just sort of watched it going, are Yvonne and Chloe actually going to win this? What the hell?
Especially with the way Chloe was walking around with her ankle. That's got to be the most immobile I've ever seen a contestant during the final episode. Because usually contestants who are that injured, especially in a competition where there's a ton of running each day with heavy backpacks, people like that are usually out way earlier in the race, not, you know, in the final leg.
And one thing we do have to mention is hello to JK and Mike, and this is like a show trade because I appeared on their show on Friday.
We made a cameo on their radio show?
Yeah, you know how I asked you for questions?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I sent like 30 of those over to JK. I'm pretty sure, I haven't heard the audio yet, I'm hoping he's going to send it me tonight my time. But I recorded some of them for him, and apparently they got played out. Rona didn't know a thing and was very surprised, apparently.
Oh.
She was surprised at 9 o'clock Singaporean time with my wonderful dulcet tones when I was still slightly ill earlier in the week.
Wow. That actually happened.
Yeah, it actually happened. We did indeed make a cameo on the Power FM breakfast show.
Did any of my stupid questions get through?
Well, I sent them all through as a list, but he sent me back an email saying, can you record some of these? And the Longanisa question was still in that list, so I think that might have been asked to Perul and Maggie.
The which question?
The Longanisa one. The how do you properly stitch a sausage?
My question got through. Oh, no.
The Perul and Maggie, how much does size matter when it comes to Longanisas? Yeah, hopefully I'll have the audio to play for you by the time you land here tomorrow.
Wow.
I was hoping he was going to send it me early enough so I could include it in the in this podcast, actually, so that we could just have clips. And another thing I have to mention, everyone at RTV Warriors expresses a huge apology to Eric and Rona for saying that Perul and Maggie called Rona auntie. Instead, it was big sister in Tagalog. I mean, I'm just going to commit seppuku now for getting it so wrong. Someone actually complained earlier about that.
Just a random fan?
Yeah, there was a comment on our last YouTube blog saying it's Atty, not Antti, meaning big sister.
Well, now they're just... Is there really that much of a difference?
Yeah, in case you haven't noticed, English, don't speak Tagalog.
Antti and big sister, that's very close to being the exact same thing.
It's the same sentiment.
Huh.
That's what I don't get. Why would you pull us up on that when we said so much more offensive things last week as it is?
Yeah, just know your kinship linguistics, Michael.
Yeah, life's not worth living when I'm just so wrong all the time. So, previously, 5 teams raced to Banyuwangi after a gutting use of the salvage pass eliminating Lisa and Nicole for the final time. 4 teams raced up a volcano to use a yield. Perul and Maggie got there first and forced Louisa and Treasury to the back of the pack, compounded by Eric and Rona also U-turning the Indonesian favourites. Despite their best efforts, they were the final team we eliminated, leaving Eric and Rona, Perul and Maggie, and Yvonne and Chloe to fight for the crown.
Yes, and considering 2 of the 3 teams are beauty queens, it's very fitting that they fight for a crown.
Deliberate pun, Logan. And teams must now travel by ferry to Bali and make their way to Pura Dalem Pengembek to search for their next clue. Caution, yield ahead. No.
I really wish they would have thrown a yield in there.
Maybe for Amazing Race Asia 6.
And was there no hours of operation? Were Eric and Rona just allowed to get an early lead?
I don't think there was, because their ferry left at 4:30. So I'm assuming they must run the ferries all day and all night, unless the start time was deliberately tailored to that.
Hmm.
But I'm sure someone can tell us. Now they're out of contract.
The racers tell all. Minus Chris Harrison.
We know how we always mock the Harpies from The Social for their terrible reunion efforts. Maybe we should do our own reunion show for Amazing Race Asia.
That would be a clogged audio, I think. That'd be a fun edit. Unless it was like each team individually, I guess, for a few minutes at a time.
Yeah, I was going to say the problem with that would be the fact that they all met up in Singapore this week. So they all would be able to, you know, collaborate their stories.
Everyone just shouts over each other?
Yeah. Feel like an Amazing Race Canada recap show.
Actually, I'm surprised at least that what are the names? Lisa and Nicole? I'm surprised that they were even got to be reunited with all the teams in Singapore.
I'm assuming you saw the picture that JK sent us in.
Yes, I did.
I was at work and just pissing myself laughing when I saw that. I was like, oh wow, we're actually famous. The thing is, I think it was only basically me and JK and Mike who actually knew that I was going to be appearing on their show in pre-recorded form. So it's a pleasant surprise for everyone. I'm looking forward to hearing the audio. And Eric and Rona say that they are excited for the opportunity to race in the finale. And Yvonne and Chloe want to win for Malaysia. So they're taking over Louisa and Treasury's mantle of Malaysia, Malaysia, Malaysia.
They have that CEO from Great Eastern Life, you know, just supporting them. As well as Sabrina and Joja.
I love the CEO of Great Eastern Life and all his adverts.
He seems like a complicated man. As he sits on a park bench. That's what he does on his Sundays. You know, get away from the office, from all the politics and all those insurance policies, and just sit on a bench and just feed the ducks. You know, that's what CEOs love to do.
He does seem like the sort to just sit in a park doing nothing.
Just stare into space. He's probably thinking like, wonder if Yvonne and Chloe won the Amazing Race Asia Season 5.
I'll just ring up my best friend, Deputy Minister Patana. He'll tell me.
Was that him at the finish line?
Yes, it was. Yes.
I was thinking, wait a second. That can't be him. I barely remember what he even looked like at the start of the race.
Yeah, it was Deputy Minister Patana.
He appeared in half as many episodes as Tara Basro did.
No.
Like, Tara Basro couldn't even congratulate people at the finish line. It had to be Deputy Minister Patana.
I know, I love that Tara Basro didn't even appear at the finish line. I thought she was supposed to be the greeter in every single Indonesia leg, but evidently not.
This is the first time, too, where there's a greeter at the finish line.
I mean, you could technically say that Amazing Race 28 had one with the string quartet.
Yeah, but I don't know if that really counts. It's not like they stopped and said, oh, welcome to Santa Barbara with Patana here. He's like, welcome back to wonderful Indonesia. And he was right into it.
And Eric and Rona get their own ferry at 4:30. And Perul and Maggie and Yvonne and Chloe go at 5:20. And once teams get to Puro del Empangenbeck, it's an active route info, which is to assemble a Balinese panjor to the satisfaction of a holy man, and then carry two panjors to a marked area to get their next clue. And this is where the episode just starts getting dirty.
There was a lot of suggestive remarks made around this time, especially because when you have to climb up and down a pole, the first thing you think of course, is Jess and Lonnie, where you think, man, if they were in Season 5 instead of Season 4, this finale would have been in the bag for them. And of course, the second thought is, man, I bet Jess wished that she never advertised that that she was the manager of a strip club, because then she wouldn't have let Logan Saunders make all those jokes about it. You know, just things like that.
If I hadn't already remixed the face cream clip, I think this episode probably would have taken the bacon. Because we have wonderful things like Come On Love, Stick It In There from Rona. And my personal favourite from Maggie, Babe, Get the Zip Ties Ready.
There is some more from Maggie and Perul later on. I don't think it was the pole task, though. I think it was another task where I was just started giggling. I think Yvonne and Chloe may have said some things, too.
Well, the pole task did have, if you can reach it, just yank it, pull it already, from Maggie as well.
Yes.
Said without the proper inflection, but still.
And about 5 extra babes thrown in there, too.
Babe, babe, babe. It's like Robin Kim back again.
Yeah. It's the remix. Remix!
Perul and Maggie are basically the Robin Kim if they won.
Babe, babe, babe.
Babe of fools.
Somehow, Yvonne and Chloe, they're actually in this leg.
Yeah, I mean, not so much when they start dragging the panjors everywhere, but they're in this because Perul and Maggie get stuck in traffic.
With a lot of the taxi drivers patrolling the remaining 3 teams.
They really were.
The one guy just was laughing at Maggie and Perul, and that's just rude. And just refusing to go faster. Like, Maggie and Perul were like, you know, go faster, buddy. And then he just started laughing and said, no, 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 I'm not going to do that. And then, of course, Eric and Rona got a taxi driver where the guy just gave this most bewildered look and just said, I don't know, like 2 or 3 times, as if he didn't know what his job was or occupation. He didn't even know why he was sitting behind the wheel of a car.
Well, apparently most of the inner city roads have a limit of 50 kilometers an hour in Bali, which is why they refuse to go faster.
What if anybody's ever mixed up Bali with Mali and got a really bad vacation out of it?
I'm sure some of the earlier Amazing Race teams probably did.
You know, just end up being kidnapped by Boko Haram or something like that in Mali?
Maybe for Amazing Race Asia 6.
This is more than you kidnap in a full year!
It's the most wonderful kidnapping this country's ever seen.
Yes.
And Eric and Rona and Yvonne and Chloe both get rejected, but Yvonne and Chloe get hints from the judge. We didn't actually see Eric and Rona get any hints. Just Yvonne and Chloe.
Hints to what?
Hints to what they were doing wrong.
Oh, they actually gave them hints?
Yeah, did you not notice he was sort of pointing out where they'd gone wrong?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, Eric and Rona didn't get that. Amazing Race Asia is rigged. Rigged.
You heard it here first. An all-female team was meant to win this season all along.
And Eric and Rona leaving first. And then Maggie has the iconic quote of, "Babe, get the zip ties ready. Babe, zip ties." I wish this had happened in an earlier episode, because this has running joke written all over it.
Yeah, this is the final podcast, so it's like, by next year, everyone's going to be like, Jesus, guys, you're still on the Peggy...
Peggy and Marul, yes.
The Peggy and Marul jokes.
I think you'll find now they've won it's Maggie and Pawool as well.
Pawool? They've been promoted by getting the Alan Wu's name squished into their name.
And Yvonne and Chloe get another rejection and a hint, and then Perul and Maggie get rejected. And then Perul and Maggie leave in second, and Yvonne and Chloe leave in third. And teams must now find Taman Inspirasi and climb a Panjat Pinang, a greasy pole, to receive the next clue, in exchange for a marked prize each.
Which is a duck.
It is. A duck or a box or a hat.
The three biggest prizes offered in all of Bali, besides the $100,000. So if you missed out on winning anything in the previous six or seven legs, well, you're making up for it now.
It's better than 100,000 Canadian dollars.
Yes, it is.
And I really cannot believe that we're still talking about him 18 months later.
Well, he was a crazy, crazy Quebecois guy who invented a kayak sport, and apparently disagreed with how he was compensated for it with production.
Yeah, I had to explain to Mark last night about the crazy Quebecois kayak hockey guy. Because apparently he'd never been told that before, despite the fact it's one of my favourite things ever.
How did he not know about the Quebecois failed Dragon's Den contestant turned Amazing Race Canada-sponsored kayak hockey guy?
And after a brief struggle, Rona does manage to climb the greasy pole.
Impressive!
I mean, I'm just thinking of Sim and TJ now having to climb a greasy pole, but...
Callback!
Genuinely, that was my first thought. I thought, we can get Sim and TJ joke out of this. Out of the alleged 300th leg of the Amazing Race.
Yes, the quote-unquote 300th leg. I can't believe they referred to that Malta leg as the 300th leg when it was clearly 304 or 305. What up with that?
Yeah, regardless of how you count the legs, it still wasn't the 300th one. You're wrong.
You're wrong, okay, so shut up.
And we do get another interesting quote from Perul and Maggie, which is, "Babe, do you see any poles?"
Considering that there was, three out of the last four teams are all female, they may be tough to spot.
And Eric's reaction when Rona comes down is just my favourite. It's just a booyah!
I hear that's an expression in the Philippines. It actually means yes. And it's very important to distinguish that, considering what happened with the Big Sister and Auntie Folly that you made last week.
Yeah, I'm devastated that I've so insulted the Philippines on what was called our best podcast of the season, despite the fact I considered it our worst because I was feeling so shite.
You're like the Kurt Schilling of podcasting. All you were missing was the bloody sock.
And Eric and Rono still leave in first, and teams must now assemble an outrigger and search for a lobster track in a marked area with a flag which they can then exchange for the next clue from Indonesian Santa, aka a fisherman.
That's Indonesian Santa Claus?
Yeah, did you not notice he had a Santa hat on? They must have known that this is going to appear the week before Christmas.
I can't picture celebrating Christmas in Indonesian climate. And then wearing, like, Santa hats when, like, here in Canada, you'd associate with that with snow. Like, for the past 2.5 weeks, it's been minus 15 degrees here. It's ridiculous. Minus 15.
It's slightly warmer here.
It's like, I checked a few days ago and you guys were at 12. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's unseasonably mild at the moment. It's 4 at the moment.
Is that the lowest it gets down to?
No. No, we usually have snow by this time of the year. And, yeah, teams must now assemble an outrigger and search in a marked area for a lobster trap with a flag, which they can exchange with Indonesian Santa for the next clue. And I do always think when I'm listening to Singaporean radio that it must be really weird celebrating Christmas in a warm climate, because their climate goes from like 28 to 35 degrees Celsius and that's it.
Always summer, but rarely Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, this morning I actually heard a joke that we'd have to pray for snow in Singapore. Because for some reason I still woke up to Power FM. I genuinely did as well. And Chloe slightly struggles with her ankle on the pole. And then Maggie tells Perul, if you can just reach it, just yank it, pull it already. Wait, isn't that a line from one of Tara Paso's films?
Well, some of her early work, I believe, yes. More experimental, I would say.
Yeah, wasn't that from her trip to Amsterdam?
Yes, the Sassy Sisters went to the Red Light District, Michael.
Well, it's a series. There's like, Sassy Sisters go to Bali, Sassy Sisters go to the Red Light District.
Yeah, it's just like Ernest.
Sassy Sisters go to the bottom of a Singaporean shark pool after crossing the Singaporean Mafia. Sassy Sisters go visiting their mutual cousin Aung San Suu Kyi in Burma.
I mean, they even named the finish line after Tara Basro.
Yeah, they did, and she still couldn't appear.
Yeah, the Bajra. It's a whole monument that's dedicated to Tara Basro's ancestors over the past 7 centuries.
Yeah, it's like the catacombs of Paris. It's built out of all their bones.
The catacombs.
The catacombs, yes.
The catacombs of Bajra.
Balinese catacombs. And Frul and Maggie leave the pole test second, and then Eric goes solo building the outrigger, and Yvonne and Chloe leave in last. And after 10 weeks, Eric has finally adopted his slight Australianness and called someone mate.
He was trying to hold on the whole season without doing anything stereotypical, but he caved in when the pressure was on and just being a couple hours away from the finish line.
I mean, he still didn't describe any task as bloody ripper.
Or claim that a dingo ate his baby.
Or befriend someone and call them the C word. Or other stereotypical Australian things that will get me in trouble. And Perul and Maggie basically win the season here by realising there's no judge and they just have to be able to paddle their outrigger. So they end up actually going into the water first.
That's kind of weird that they were expecting a... I guess most tasks like that, you expect a safety judge before they let you, you know, go out into the ocean.
But it was a complete sort of distraction technique anyway, because the water was way too shallow for anyone to paddle anything.
I wondered how much you could cheat with in terms of paddling to the route marker and back. If you were able to, like, get out of the boat and just, you know, just pull it towards the clue.
I think Eric and Rona were probably at a massive disadvantage on this task.
Just because it would have been much tougher for them to balance, you're thinking?
Well, and the fact that they are the heaviest team of the final three. So it's going to go a lot further down and be a lot more difficult for them to paddle.
I wonder what the weight differential is between Eric and Rona and Maggie and Perul.
I'd say probably quite a lot.
Probably Maggie and Perul combined don't even match Eric.
I would probably also guess that.
Now I'm expecting like a Street Fighter fight where like Maggie and Perul can fuse together and they turn into this like weird like Japanese RPG type monster to try and take on Eric.
On that note, have you ever played No More Heroes on the Wii?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's right up your street. It's very, very, very silly. But the sequel to that, conveniently titled No More Heroes 2, does feature quite a few mecha battles, one of which is a team of cheerleaders and the quarterback of the local football team fusing together to become a gigantic mecha.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a weird, weird game. And Eric and Rona find the first trap, shortly followed by Perul and Maggie. And teams must now find Pura Salmon Tiga and search for the next clue. And did you notice when Perul and Maggie were leaving, there was a fly on the lens?
No, I did not.
I did.
Well, 10 points to Gryffindor.
That may or may not make up for my insult to the entire Filipino community by getting the word for auntie and the word for big sister mixed up.
Yeah, you really fucked it up, Michael.
I did. I'm just so disappointed in myself.
So yeah, two very physical three very physical tasks all in a row.
Screw you guys.
Carrying heavy objects and attention to detail, climbing up and down poles, and now paddling. All in Bali.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I would have loved to see JK and Mike do that pole task.
What are you doing, Mike? I didn't mean to flip us over several times. Swim for your life.
The thing is, JK would probably end up hitting Mike on the head with at least one of the boxes from the pole task. He'd just like pull everything down.
I got distracted when I was touching the pole because Yvonne and Chloe and Maggie and Perul were assembling the outriggers.
Yeah, he would have got 100% distracted by the outrigger task, wouldn't he?
I just can't let go of the pole for some reason.
Not for the first time. It's a good job JK likes us, isn't it? And Yvonne and Chloe leave it in last. And it's Perul and Maggie who get the first taxi. And Eric and Ronan get in one, but he doesn't know Piora San Montiga. Which basically means that Yvonne and Chloe getting in a fast taxi get to the route marker first.
Out of nowhere!
Yeah, Perul and Maggie's driver has one speed, and that's slow, slow, slow. Apprentice reference. And it is a roadblock, which is who's got their things in order. Please note, you don't get any choice, because Chloe, Maggie, and Rona must do this roadblock. And in this final roadblock, one team member must use a basket of coconuts with pictures or places on them to fill 9 holes representing the first 9 legs of the race. Each hole must contain a coconut with a symbol or place on it that they encountered, the pit stop location, and the name of the eliminated team or teams. Once they have all 9 holes correct, they receive their final clue.
And as we all know, Chloe does well in memory challenges under pressure. And she definitely didn't go insane just 2 weeks ago at a memory challenge.
Yeah, that was really, really bad planning on their part, wasn't it?
I think Yvonne would have done much better.
Yeah, if you know there's going to be a memory challenge, which is more than likely, you don't put your weaker team member on that.
Unless Yvonne was able to scratch Chloe's back during the task, you knew that Chloe was doomed.
I mean, I think that Chloe probably would have done a lot better at the sulfur test last week, but then we wouldn't have got the hilarity of Yvonne getting dragged up. So, swings and roundabouts.
Yeah.
And did you notice that Eric broke the clue box?
He broke it?
Yeah, when they opened it and saw there was one clue left, Eric actually ripped the lid off, unintentionally.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, you really weren't watching very closely.
No. It's tough at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, maybe it's because you had an annoying Brit harassing you that we actually have to record this before you come over here for us to even have a chance of uploading it on time.
But that's typical Eric, you know, to be that muscled and break a clue box. However, in Eric's defense, Amazing Race Asia really cheaped out on the clue boxes and the clues and the speed bump signs. Even the finish line was just a regular pit stop mat, which I know they've done before for finish lines in Amazing Race Asia, but still. I can imagine they just cut back the funding on sturdy clue boxes by about 15% or something like that. And then it can't withstand Eric's brute strength. Like Rona says that Eric's always her rock. And oddly enough, you know, the rocks on Eric's biceps is what ultimately destroyed that clue box.
Well, fun fact, if Eric and Rona had won, they would have only got $99,950 because they would have had a $50 penalty for breaking the clue box. There would have been a repair fee.
And there would have been a $500 fine for cheating by using the U-turn.
Good point, yeah. Maybe they should implement a Big Brother-style penalty system for Major Race Asia 6.
You cannot compete for the next 2 prizes up for grabs. Oh wait, there's no prizes in Amazing Race Asia? Oh, then we can't penalize you at all.
Yeah, starts with $100,000 prize money, and any time anyone cheats by using the U-turn or the yield or breaks something, it drops down. That's how it should be.
And this, I think the season overall had the least amount of first place prize giveaways in decades.
3 in total.
Yeah, like even Amazing Race 3 and 4 and 5 in those early seasons gave out more prizes.
Even Amazing Race China's given out more prizes. Because they give out a monetary prize every leg, I think. And as much as I love memory challenges, they are horrendously boring to actually have to talk about.
Unless you're Eric and Rona, and you just see them burying their face into their hands and all the crying and then me laughing because people are crying and really sad on the Amazing Race. So in that sense, we're winners.
Yeah. And the probably quite iconic quote of, "His smile is irritating me."
And what's with Indonesian judges always wagging their finger? Like, when did they adopt that?
I'm really disappointed we didn't even get to mention the finger wave last week.
We didn't mention the finger wagging?
We didn't. I only realised when I'd edited. I was like, I didn't actually do my Alicia Calloway reference. I'm so disappointed in myself.
Yeah. The Indonesians will always wag their finger in your face. But yeah, it's like 2 legs in a row of just Indonesians just, you know, wagging their finger. I don't know if that was a Dutch colonial thing that was, you know, imported to them or what, but I've never seen any other judge in any other version of the Amazing Race do that.
Woo that. This is the Amazing Race Asia.
Right.
And Maggie and Chloe get a couple of rejections, as does Rona. But it is Perul and Maggie who leave in first. And teams now find the Tara Bajra Sandy Monument, the finish line for the Amazing Race Asia 5, the most wonderful race these countries have ever seen. First team to check in will win the Amazing Race Asia.
And again, Maggie and Perul get stuck in a crappy cab, but we know that nobody has ever been overtaken in a taxi ride on the way to a finish line ever. So they hold on and win the leg. And the race. The end.
What about Tara and Will?
Well, I mean, that was slightly different because they intentionally tried to mislead Chris and Alex, and then the run was really long, and that was, you know, the second season. So ever since then, it's always been predictable. You know, like 55 or 56 or however many seasons that's aired internationally since then.
63, I think it is. I think this is number 65.
Yeah, so 63 seasons since then. There hasn't been a taxi driver that's screwed up and blatantly lost the lead for somebody on the way to the finish line.
69 there's been, actually, so 67, but still. And I don't know if you saw your Twitter, but I've worked out we've done 103 podcasts, I think it is, since you last met me.
Really? Since Vancouver 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's how many podcasts we've done together since. Because that is a lot of podcasts.
That's a lot of podcasts. That's very true.
Yeah, I was trying to work out how many hours we've ended up talking. And a shit ton is the correct answer.
Probably close to 200.
I think it's probably more than that, actually. But still.
Wow.
104 podcasts we've done since you last met me and my family. And Yvonne and Chloe leave in second. And then Rona gets frazzled, and I get sad, because I wanted them to come in second.
I presume Rona didn't finish that task, eh?
I think she did, yeah.
Oh, she did? Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we saw her get the clue.
You know what would have been great is if one of the symbols for one of the legs, you know how it was like scorpions and just random artifacts from what they encountered along the race, it would have been hilarious if one symbol just showed Alex or Will puking up that rice.
Just a vomit.
Yeah. And then another was like Eric being terrified of the prawn and just, another symbol is Louisa taunting the human bull with her dirty socks.
What they should have done is made sure Eric had to do the roadblock and then put just a symbol of a prawn. That's what I would have done.
Just 30 symbols of prawns and see how he reacts.
Yeah.
He just picks up each one and goes, ah!
So, surprisingly nobody. Perul and Maggie are the first team to arrive. And they get a wonderful personal greeting from Deputy Minister Patana.
Oh, Deputy Minister Patana, always in our hearts. If he were a baseball pitcher, he'd be both a starter and a closer. He'd be the Dennis Eckersley of Amazing Race Asia. He is the Dennis Eckersley of Amazing Race Asia. Or John Smoltz.
But the biggest question from this entire episode, where is Tara Bajra?
She was at... Wasn't she at the finish line celebration? I know she introduced the Bajra.
No, she wasn't there.
She definitely... But she introduced it when the clue was read for the finish line, right? Like...
Yeah, but she actually wasn't physically there.
Wow.
I have a theory. I think she was with her Sashi sisters.
So she probably filmed that scene with Alan and then said, I'm not interested?
I'm not sure.
She hasn't even engaged on social media about this entire season, has she? Because it's always Alan going to all the promotional tour stuff.
Maybe at that point she'd heard our preview and thought, oh no, I'm going to be in for so much shit, I might as well not turn up for the finish line.
So bizarre. Tara Bosro's role has to be the biggest flop for, you know, inventing some sort of new position on the Amazing Race. I know Latin America had a co-host, but I mean, in terms of all the franchises that most people pay attention to, this was supposed to be a fairly inventive idea. And she's, you know, her and Lisa Nicole are pretty much all have the same amount of airtime.
I don't think you could do Amazing Race Asia 6 without at least an appearance by Tara Bajra, though.
Just the pit stop greeter just for the Indonesia leg?
Yeah. Yeah, she is Amazing Race Asia now.
One pit stop greeter is her and then the other is Deputy Minister Patana?
Go!
He just introduces everything from now on. It's just at the start of each leg when teams rip open their clue, he's just there to signal them to run.
Yeah, I think we probably have to have Deputy Minister Patana send everyone off every time now.
We need to interview Deputy Minister Patana, because I think he was paying attention to the season more than Tarabazaro was.
Well, we did agree that the next interview would be the one led by you, so you can do that if you want.
Oh man, could you imagine all the behind-the-scenes stuff he would know about? Like, the script he worked on to start the race, meeting Alan Wu. He met Alan Wu, and congratulating the team at the finish line, and what a special moment that was. And then we just have awkward silence for the remaining 30 minutes we have booked for the interview. Oh man, that would be awesome.
Logan, you're spoiling the surprise for Friday. We're going to see a night with Deputy Minister Vitana.
He's visiting England at the same time?
That would be the best surprise ever for you.
or he's the ferry captain for Amsterdam?
Yeah, exactly. We're about to set off. 3, 2, 1, go! We just slowly move away from Hull.
So, Megan Perul winners, yay or nay?
Yay, because I like them. I like a lot of the teams this season. In fact, I don't think there's actually a team I hate this season. I mean, I know I gave JK and Mike quite a lot of stick, purely because it's hilarious and no regrets, but I don't hate anyone in this cast. Obviously, our Vietnamese lesbian queen should have won, but I'm happy with Perul and Maggie winning.
Yeah, the only nay aspect to it is that editors made this so blatantly obvious from the very beginning for us to root for Maggie and Perul.
I'm not sure you could have kind of done the story of them giving their money to Perul's dad without mentioning it, though.
I guess to give it some sort of context by the end of the season. And then with Maggie and Perul, I think out of any winner, they would have been, they got to be awfully close to the most consistent contestants the race has ever seen, because they were never in the bottom two, but they didn't win any legs until the final one. Their average would have been just below 3.0, so it's like as average in terms of winners as you can probably get.
Yeah, the comparisons between them and Sabrina and JoJo are quite stark, actually. Because Sabrina and JoJo are 3.77, Perul and Maggie 3.8.
Oh, that close, eh? 0.03 off, and that's because there's probably just a different number of legs, so when you combine all the numbers and divide them, it's bound to work out like that.
Yeah, it's definitely history repeating itself, is what I would have to say. And Yvonne and Chloe are second. And it's actually Alex and Will who look happier than they do.
Yeah, Alex and Will were really pumped up for every single team that arrived. Like, you know, how much sake were they drinking?
I didn't actually notice it for the Perul and Maggie reaction, but I've seen it since.
Yeah, where one of them physically lifted up Perul, I think.
Which one was it, Logan?
I don't know. You know how unobservant I was with this finale. It's almost 3 a.m. right now.
I also know how unobservant you are when it comes to telling Asian teams apart, which is hilarious.
Like, is it Perul's father or Maggie's father that's, you know, that they won the money for? I don't know.
And in third is Eric and Rona. And they're so sweet.
But they choked. They choked on the sweets.
Well, it's more that they got a terrible taxi driver.
Yeah, but then Rona seemed like she lost a lot of time at the roadblock.
But that's probably because she put herself under pressure because they got there last, and she knew she had to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, anybody's going to be under pressure like that on the final. Like, nobody's like, oh man, I have this huge lead going into a tough memory challenge. I couldn't be more relaxed right now. That never happens.
No, I wouldn't say this was a particularly tough memory challenge compared to some we've seen.
But there was extras in there. I mean, it's not the toughest one. I mean, that riddle from season 12's probably got to be right up there.
What you would have to do with that memory challenge is, I'm assuming you'd write down all the pit stop names, because if you didn't, you're a fool. And obviously you'd know the eliminated teams, because you should know the order. And then it's just working out the symbols.
Yeah, it's a symbol. Yeah, everyone was screwing up on the symbols. So yeah, they could have made that final challenge a bit tougher, you're right.
Yeah, and realizing that actually you have some decoys in there. because the clue only asked for one symbol per leg, which should tell you there are going to be decoys.
Decoys, Lois, decoys.
So, one final question for the season. Why was Amazing Race Asia 5 so good?
Well, if you want to compare it to Amazing Race Canada, it's because even though it was centralized in one country, they knew to just have the very beginning and very end of it in the one country, you know, to have, you know, five legs total, and they still spent 50% of it outside of its borders and went to very different locations, and some of the legs looked like they went on for a very long time, really physical tasks, and they took classic challenges that viewers of Amazing Race Asia have seen countless times before in the American version, and sort of remixed it so it was a lot more compelling for the hardcore fans. And they experimented with penalties we've never seen before. Well, not so much a penalty, but like having the yield and U-turn in the same leg and having several yields and U-turns in throughout the season. A fast-forward, which was extremely brutal. And a cast that was compelling from top to bottom for the most part. Nobody that really grated on my nerves or who I found terribly boring at all. Alan Wu was his usual self. And there was those hilarious random moments of sponsor plugs, which we always love to make fun of. And you have Tara Basro being the most bizarre character probably to be thrown into any season of Amazing Race ever. And this is in contrast to Amazing Race Canada, which still, I mean, the first four episodes of season four were good. The casting was really good and had a pretty good boot order. But then we went back to the usual do a memory challenge, do another dancing challenge, a lot of the same, overlap with cities. 8 out of 11 legs were in Canada again. So, I mean, season 4 started out strong and then just completely went downhill. And then Amazing Race 28 had a few teams that shouldn't have been cast overall and just really shortened up too many of its rounds. And only had one self-drive leg the entire season. I mean, Amazing Race Asia didn't have really any self-drive, but with Amazing Race US, it should have been expected. So, and just its final legs, really weak design as well. So Amazing Race Asia, I mean, there's only like two weak points really with the whole season. But other than that, oh well, and of course it's three weaknesses. I forgot about their horrible, horrible season premiere episode. But other than that, they definitely defeated Amazing Race 28 and Amazing Race Canada 4 this year.
Yeah, I know full well that 3 months ago we did the Amazing Race Canada is supposed to be good and fun episode and complained about how awful the prospects were for Amazing Race Canada, and it's really, really nice for us to have Amazing Race Asia come back after 6 years of not being there and just kick ass. Because I was worried pre-season, but the bios were horrendously short, which is something you guys need to fix for Amazing Race Asia 6. And the premiere was really, really not good. But then they kicked ass. They started firing on all cylinders. The cast was fantastic. The locations were great. We got introduced to the legend of Tara Basro. We got reintroduced to the legend of Alan Wu. We also got introduced to the legend of Deputy Minister Patana.
Yeah, they're like Deputy Minister Patana, Alan Wu and Tara Basro are like the Moltres, Zapdos, and Articuno of Amazing Race Asia.
Well, Pokemon. But yeah, I think it just worked. It's just one of those lightning in the bottle seasons that you go, actually, this was great. They knew what they were doing. And I'm so, so happy that they made it work. Because I think we were both a little bit worried pre-season that it was going to be a crushing disappointment. And actually, it was very, very good. It's probably the best season since 25.
Yeah, I would agree with that. If it wasn't, I mean, depends on how much you penalize them for that first leg. And what I also liked about Amazing Race Asia is that instead of the usual Amazing Race content that's rated G or PG, they bumped it up to a 14A for this season. We got a lot of swearing, and they even, you know, they aired a lot of the censored F-bombs too, and all of JK's inappropriate remarks.
And I think it also helps that they took themselves less seriously. This is an argument that I've had with Survivor this year as well. I didn't particularly like Millennials versus Gen X because it took itself a bit too seriously. The cast was good, but it just was a bit too stony-faced and not enough crazy hilarity. Whereas Amazing Race Asia is the crazy hilarity.
And it's always been like that.
Yeah. It's nice to see it compared to Amazing Race Canada, where I'm just disappointed in it now.
Yeah, Amazing Race Canada takes itself way, 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 way too seriously. It's like as serious as some of the producers for Amazing Race US.
Yeah, it's supposed to be about fun and entertainment and character-driven rather than disappointing us.
Yeah, as soon as you try to frame a competitive reality TV show as a sport, that's kind of when you falter.
Whereas Amazing Race Asia has been fantastic, and I'm very, very excited for the prospects of Amazing Race Asia 6.
If that doesn't happen, like I'd be more pissed off if Amazing Race Asia 6 didn't happen as opposed to Amazing Race 30.
Yeah, as would I. But also, as we know, production and listening, if you need anything from us, then you know where we are. If you want any web stuff doing, if you want to get Garuda to fly us anywhere, just hit us up. You know where we are. One last shameless plug.
In the dying minutes.
And I think it's about time that we close out the season.
And close out, really, the Amazing Race as a whole for 4 months.
Yeah, for about 4 months. I mean, there are some potentials of more Amazing Race podcasts imminently, shall we say?
Yes.
So it might be worth keeping an eye on our social pipes for any more information on that when it's confirmed. Sadly, it's unconfirmed at the moment. I was hoping we could confirm it this week, but we can't. But yeah, thanks for tuning in all season long. Our final recap podcast of the year, which is for The Apprentice UK, will be out at the beginning of the week. And then we're going to have a little break before we return for some more Amazing Race podcasts, hopefully. And then we return in January for Hunted US, which I'm very excited about.
Crazy.
I know. It's going to be so much fun. And it's now been confirmed that one of the hunters from the UK version has gone to the US one. Yes! That means they're taking it seriously.
Wow.
Yeah. If you've got any questions, feel free to contact us on our Facebook page, Reality TV Warriors, our Twitter account, RTV Warriors, or our own Twitter pages, MJ Armstrong for me, Logs of Kowaki for Logan. And I'm assuming keep an eye out for some Amsterdam-themed revelry towards the back end of the week as well. Because I know I'll be posting some stuff.
Yeah.
This is what Logan looks like when he's flipping off the Anne Frank house. Maybe not one for social media, that one.
No, I'll be trying to search for the Venga boys in Amsterdam.
They're from Rotterdam, aren't they?
They could be visiting Amsterdam, you never know. It's a small country.
You'll be able to see it from Amsterdam anyway, it's nice and flat. There's nothing in the way.
Except windmills.
So thank you so much to everyone who's listened and interacted with us all season, especially production and the cast. And all of you guys for listening. And we will see you for Amazing Race 29. Bye.
Peace out.
Now, we have questions from the fans to ask you, but before that, you guys have been reading blogs, forums, Twitter, and all that. Have you heard of the reality TV fan junkie guys?
Yeah, they have podcasts. Michael, Logan and Michael. Yeah.
Right. And they don't say very nice things. They're quite mean. They're just,
they are quite mean.
I find them hilarious.
Just to paint a picture, right? So let me, you know, if you're tuning in for the first time, this is what they talk about on their podcast about Amazing Race Asia.
Did Louisa and Treasury not make the interview because you guys yielded and U-turned them out of the studio?
Wow. Savage.
Yeah,
savage.
They are mean people. Yvonne Chloe, very quiet, huh?
Yeah, I was going to ask Yvonne Chloe. Yeah. So obviously on League 9 is when all of this is going on.
They said some stuff about this.
I was waiting for them to say something.
Yeah, they didn't say anything just now.